I think our budget this year is a little over $80 million. And honestly, when I say that number, it kind of shocks me. My initial vision for ownership and being part of 1-800-GOT-JUNK didn't include growing a business this size. So still surprising to me, and I still have to kind of pinch myself when I say it. But yeah, $80 million this year, on our way to $100 million next year.
Welcome to Founder Stories, a show about ordinary people on a journey to build their own exceptional businesses. I'm Brian Scudamore, founder and CEO of O2E Brands. We're home to 1-800-GOT-JUNK, Wow One Day Painting, and Shack Shine. I started my business hauling junk as an 18-year-old paying his way through college. 30 years later, we're 250 franchises strong. I've learned a few lessons along the way, the most important one being that it's all about people. And I mean all about people. So I'm on a mission to uncover the founder stories of some of our most inspiring people. From the decisions that lead them to take the leap, to the celebrations and lessons that follow. Do you know what it takes to be one of the most successful owners in the history of 1-800-GOT-JUNK? Our guest today sure does. This is Tom's story.
So you built a sizable business. Let's talk about, where is your business geographically? Sort of run me through a list. I mean, this is a moment for you to proud of what you've built, if you can remember everywhere you own. But
yeah, I mean, we're big in the New York market. We have large locations in New York and New Jersey. We have locations in Nashville and Raleigh and Charlotte. We've added Las Vegas, Vermont. We're throughout San Francisco now. Probably one of the deals I'm most proud of is myself and a couple business partners acquired the entire city of Chicago. That's a separate business unit, and we've doubled that business in less than 2 years, and we're just starting to get started there. That's got a huge, huge future ahead of it. And Australia, we'll do 8 or 9 million in Australia this year, and that business is starting to get significant traction. So that'll be a sizable business in a few years. So when I reflect on it, it's pretty awesome.
Let's go back to the very beginning. Who was your hero growing up in hockey?
Well, that's a pretty easy one. I grew up in the same town, or just outside of Brantford, Ontario, is the home of Wayne Gretzky. So he was, as a child, my hero. And to be honest with you, still remains my hero today. There's nothing that Wayne doesn't touch that doesn't ooze values. He's just such a nice guy. He's gracious with his time. He's always available. Funny story about Wayne. When my wife Lee was pregnant with our first child 4 years ago, I nicknamed the baby in Lee's womb Baby Wayner. Uh-huh. And I received in the mail from Wayne Gretzky a signed picture of my wife and I together on the beach in Kauai. Wow. Where he signed it, "Happy to meet Baby Wayner one day, Wayne Gretzky." And I still have that picture today on my child's wall in her bedroom. It was awesome.
That's phenomenal. How did you end up in San Francisco? Small town, Ontario, hockey kid, moves to a big city in the U.S. Tell me that story.
I ended up in a job in Alberta, Canada. It was a sales position, which coincidentally introduced me kind of this concept of working for yourself. It was like baby steps toward entrepreneurship. So I was working for a company called Invacare in Alberta. Is a large manufacturer of home medical products. And I had met with some early success in Canada in my mid to late 20s. And I was offered a job promotion / transfer to the US. And you're Canadian, so you'll understand this. If you're Canadian, there's a little like little brother, big brother thing going on, Canada and the US. And to me, moving to the US was like a huge opportunity. And there's a little inferiority complex in Canada. So when they offered me a transfer to the US, I took it thinking that's going to lead to really great things in my career. And so that's how I ended up in San Francisco as a job promotion / transfer.
And how did you find out about 1-800-GOT-JUNK?
Huh. Well, thank goodness I did come across it. But I think like most people, we read about you in a magazine article. So Profit 100 Canadian magazine listed the top 100 most profitable businesses in Canada. I think I was in an airport before a flight to pick up a copy. And when I was on the flight, I was reading it and came across your business. And I'd been looking for something for a couple of years and just hadn't found the right thing. And it's really funny. I remember the feeling like it was yesterday when I ran across 1-800-GOT-JUNK. I just understood it immediately. I saw it immediately. And I got off the plane and I made a phone call. Little did I know, you're a pretty small company back then. I don't even know if you'd franchised yet. I think Toronto was the first location.
So you're in an airport. You read about us in Profit Magazine. Something caught your eye. It's junk removal. It's not something that you would expect would catch most people's eyes. What was the spark for you?
I mean, I don't think it was one thing, Brian. I think it all worked together. I was honest about things I thought I was good at and knew what I wasn't good at. And I think I recognized immediately that for my skill set, this was going to be an awareness play, a marketing play, like a sales play. And I thought if more people knew that a professional service like this existed, they would use it. And so I tested that theory by standing outside of the transfer station on a Saturday morning and saw 75 cars in line. And I knocked on the window. I said, hey, you've been waiting in line for like 30 minutes to haul this stuff into the dump. If there was a service that came to your house that you trusted in, would do this for you, would you use it? 50% of the people said, absolutely, this lineup sucks. And so that's when I knew like there was magic here.
So you knew you discovered magic. You found the opportunity that was going to be your next career move. Had you always dreamt of being an entrepreneur?
I didn't, Brian. I can't say I did. I don't think in high school I even understood the word entrepreneur. I grew up in a pretty small town. Success to me was the pharmacist in town. There's three stores, and we had a grocery store, and we had a pharmacy, and we had a gas station. And the most successful person in our town owned the local pharmacy. And that, to me, was success. I didn't want to be a pharmacist, so, you know, that didn't quite line up. But it wasn't until I had my first job that I realized I might want to explore business ownership. And I felt that way because I was working for someone, even as someone in my mid-20s, that I didn't align with. And I was doing a very good job. I was growing her business and I got nothing in return for it. Like her definition of sharing the bounty was, I'll give you another $20 on your paycheck. And I'm like, are you kidding? I'm blowing your business up. And so that was the first time in my life where I thought alignment is really key, because I left that job and got the sales job. And when I was in sales, that's when I realized entrepreneurship was going to be the way to go, because it was the first time in my life that how much I made was directly related to how hard I worked and how much success I had. And if I chose to not get out of bed that week, I made no money. And if I chose to get out of bed and develop relationships and work really hard, I was met with a lot of success. And so that relationship introduced me to this concept of going out on your own and doing your own thing. And so if it wasn't for a bad experience at my first job, followed up by this relationship that I learned in sales, I don't even know if I'd have become an entrepreneur, because I think you would agree with this. People don't work for companies. They work for other people. And if my first job, if I'd have worked with someone who recognized that maybe there was a good tandem between us, we could do things together, and allowed me to grow with her as we built the company, I might not have left. You know, and so I think it's really important. My number one task, I remind, you know, my managers all the time, is to create alignment so that what's good for the company is good for the individual. What's good for the individual is good for the company. So we're all swimming in the same direction.
Love it. So take me back to the early days then. How did you learn? There's so much you didn't know. And it's hard for me to remember back that far, because I go, Tom is one of the most sophisticated entrepreneurs I've ever met. $80 million business. One day it'll be $160 million business. You're in YPO, the Young Presidents Organization. You hobnob with some of the biggest and brightest in California in entrepreneurship. I'm like, how do you get from where you were, small town guy with no business education, to where you are today?
Wow, yeah, great question. I think there's a couple answers to that question. Number one, I would say this is the beauty of a franchise system. You're not in it alone. There was a lot of us in the same boat. And I think one of the things I recognized early was to create relationships with other top performing franchise partners who have similar goals and similar values. And so there's a group of three or four of us that started speaking, geez, weekly and then almost daily. And we learned together. And kudos to you as the franchisor You created formats to get top franchise partners together. And so we all learned together. I don't think any of us really came in with sophisticated, you know, quote unquote, business knowledge. And so it was networking with franchise partners and then committing every day to learn and get better. And so it was a huge breakthrough for me to join Entrepreneurs Organization. I think it was YEO when I joined, similar to you. And so I spent 8 years in EO or YPO with other business owners. That was incredible for my learning journey. And then graduated up to YPO when the business was a little larger. And I think every day, just understanding that you don't know it all and committing to trying to learn it all, it was all part of the game. But I think a constant, relentless pursuit of learning is what all entrepreneurs strive for, or should strive for if you want to get better.
Mm-hmm. What is it that you have done better than any other franchise owner? Or what do you think you do better than other entrepreneurs? We've all got our gifts. What is yours?
Wow. Gift is a strong word, but I'll take it. Honestly, Brian, I think it's recognizing the importance of two things. One for me is alignment. So if I want to grow, how can the people who identify with our painted picture, how can they grow with me? So one is alignment, and the other is putting good people in positions where they can succeed. So there's not a chance I can do what I'm currently doing without exceptional partnerships. And each of our locations now, I'm so proud to say, has an equity partner who takes ownership for the business, who's involved in running the day-to-day. And there's not a chance, as you know, which is why you chose franchising, there's not a chance you can grow an exceptional company without exceptional people who have ownership. So I would say we were always very generous in the opportunities we provided and the path we created. So other entrepreneurs, guys who started in the trucks, they started in the trucks with us and became, you know, senior truck team members and operations managers and then GMs. And now they're in a position where they're creating wealth for themselves. They're creating a stable future. They have money to lean on. And they're so stoked to be part of this organization because it provided them the same thing you provided me, was a vision. All you provided me was a vision and opportunity. And I seized it. And we do the same thing. We provide a vision and opportunity. And these guys who are hungry, they seize that opportunity. And now in every location, we have these just awesome rock star people who are doing the same thing I did 20 years ago. They're doing it now. So that's it. I mean, that's the stuff that fulfills me at the end of the day, knowing what these guys are doing for themselves.
So you're best at providing vision and opportunity to amazing people that are willing to bite and take it on for themselves.
I think so. Yeah, for sure. The business is way past, you know, what I personally am doing on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. And I think I realized long ago, if I remained the bottleneck to everything, the business can't scale. It can't grow. I have to get out of its way and allow other people that had similar commitments to, you know, building an awesome future. I had to provide opportunity for them to seize the same future that I did. And quite honestly, Brian, I have to give you kudos for that. You've always preach that. You've always understood the value of providing exceptional people with opportunities to build a great future. And so pretty easy when you lead the organization that way and it works, we have the opportunity to kind of follow in your footsteps. So, you know, I think the whole organization, O2E Brands, does that very well.
I appreciate that. Thank you. So you've scaled like no one else. I mean, it really is phenomenal what you've done. If I hear your secret sauce, it's the people. Finding the right people, helping them see opportunities for the long term. What was your biggest failure?
Oh, wow. Honestly, probably people related. Hiring the wrong people or not firing the wrong people quick enough. Mm-hmm. And so my first big mistake was probably 15 years ago, I hired someone that wasn't a cultural match, even though he was smarter than I am, he had a ton of business chops. He literally destroyed my culture in about 6 months. But he was so good at business, he still has a legacy that lives on in some of my companies. Some of the systems, the financial stuff he put in place still lives on, but that was a cancer that I had to cut out. And then consequently, I think waiting too long to fire a few people that I knew weren't the right match. So the biggest mistakes were all around people, amazingly enough.
Well, why did you wait so long with this one person you hired and subsequently people at different levels in the organization that have been the wrong people? Why do you wait?
It's probably a fear on my part. Like, what will happen if I get rid of this person that on paper knows more than me, that I think is better than me? It was an insecurity on my part. I want to believe that people will get better. And I just think, oh, he'll improve. They'll improve over time. They'll get better. But I think mostly probably an insecurity on my part. At the time, I was a lot more junior. And just, I'm an optimist, I think, by nature. I want to believe that, you know, given enough time, anyone will figure out how to succeed in this game. But you know what? People are who they are. People don't really change. And so now I know, I think I know how to identify people that don't align with our values or our culture quicker than I did previously.
So are you better at finding the right people today than 10 years ago?
I think we're much better. And I think a lot of that has to do with what we put out in the world. We release publicly our painted pictures. We talk daily about our values, and the right people seem to find us now. We used to have to be a lot more aggressive about finding people because I didn't have a painted picture which talked about our future in detail that we could release to the world. So we release it on a recruiting site. So if we're looking for a high level individual, it's front and center. Like, it's going to repel some people or it's going to bring some people to us. And so those people that align with our vision, our culture, and our painted picture, I think have a tendency to kind of find us now. So we're very public about what we're trying to build.
All the people you've employed in your organization, are you changing lives? It sounds like you are.
I believe we are, Brian. And I believe one of the most fulfilling parts of my journey now is being able to reflect on a year and know that we're creating millionaires, funding retirement accounts for the general managers who are now franchise partners, who are able to go to bed at night knowing they can provide for themselves. They're generating wealth for themselves, their families, buying homes, funding colleges for their kids. That to me is more fulfilling than anything else. It's beyond making money for myself now, which that's not the thing that really makes me excited. What makes me excited is that having a ceremony where we're introducing three or four new partners into our organization and we're creating a path to equity. That, I mean, honestly, that is the juice right there. Yeah.
How has this changed your life? Now, you've changed your own life. I don't want us to take any credit, but what I'm looking for is, how has this changed your life?
The life I'm living now, I never could have imagined. I mean, as an entrepreneur, there's pluses and minuses. So my wife will tell you that 7 days a week, I'm connected to my business, for sure. But because we're creating something big with a lot of people and awesome, like, it's exciting. It's like energizing. But I have freedom to make my own life on my own terms. My family and I travel a lot, and as long as I can be connected to internet and a phone and now Zoom, we travel the world a lot. I'm able to kite surf in awesome places with my wife and scuba dive with my wife. I'm working on my private pilot's license right now. So hopefully I can make the world a smaller place, do some travel with my family. But we have control of our life, control of our destiny. And luckily, because the business has met with some success, honestly, we have more money than we thought we'd have as well. Business ownership and entrepreneurship.
I love that you say, you know, you're still connected to your business 7 days a week. Not everyone's like that. But I don't get the impression, you can correct me if I'm wrong, you do not feel chained to your business. It's a choice. You are excited to get to participate in your business every day and connect while at the same time having the choices and the freedom that you have.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I think I referenced this earlier, Brian. If I was required by my business to make all the decisions for my business, it could never scale. So I've entrusted the right people to make the right decisions on my behalf and in the best interest of the business. So that doesn't require that I'm there, but it does require that I understand what's going on. Like, I know every day, I get the metrics for all of my businesses. So I know what's going on. I remind my team all the time, do not ever think that me not being there doesn't mean I don't care or I'm not committed. And so like a lot of entrepreneurs, I'm goal-oriented and I'm project-based. So there's some weeks I'll have to work 60, 70 hours, and there's other weeks where I can work 10. And so it just depends what we've got going on at the time. If there's a big acquisition or a big merger, or if there's a significant, you know, project we're working on, then I dive back in. But all in all, yeah, I've done a really good job of developing teams that run the business on our behalf. And so my family gets to enjoy the perks of entrepreneurialism, which is, as you said, freedom to kind of do what we choose to do when we want to do it. And I'll give you an example, because this is awesome, Brian. So we went to Maui a couple of weeks ago, and my wife said, you know, we have a family painted picture, and our family painted picture says a couple of times in our life, we're going to move to another country or another location for half a year. And so I'm like, well, why don't we start with baby steps and move to Maui for 6 months next year? We can kite surf every day. We can learn to surf. We can go fishing. And so we applied to a Montessori school for our daughter, and we just found out last week she got in. Wow. So we're thinking of moving to Maui next year from January 1st to middle of June, and then I'll fly out of Maui when needed to come back for work. But there's an example of being able to, you know, take advantage of the freedom that can come with a business when you set it up properly.
Thank you, Tom, for all you've done for 1-800-GOT-JUNK, an $80 million business, but much more importantly, it's not about the money. It's the lives you're changing, the people you're touching, the memories you're creating, and pure gold. True testament of the philosophy of bigger and better together. So thank you for spending time together. And
you got it, buddy. I couldn't be happier to be part of the family. Thank you for your initial vision. Greatest decision of my life. And I hope other people join O2E as franchisees, because it'll transform their life if they commit to it. Awesome.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Founder Stories. I'm Brian Scudamore. I love hearing stories from founders. I'm curious what resonated with you. Tell me on Instagram, LinkedIn, or go to my YouTube channel to learn more.